Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Living the Shift with Angela Coulter, and glad to be here with you this week. It's here in North Carolina, a rainy, cloudy morning, which is always good in the summertime. Anyway, so I have here today Mary Hogan joining me, and we're going to be talking about breaking through the barriers, all of them, because we always seem to come up against some of those. So I'm going to now just introduce Mary quick so you could say good morning.
Good morning.
So we are in the huge, I have every conversation I have, everyone is talking about how crazy it is, how much change is going on, and there's so many bumps coming. People are getting bumps and bruises from hitting those walls and changes and everything else. And so, part of what was really important to talk about, and I don't even remember the context of our conversation when this topic came up, but it's just so important because what happens many times is we get to a certain point and then we sort of throw our hands up in the air and say, well, yeah, I can't change anything more. I've just changed everything I can. You know, what do you think?
Absolutely. I think it's interesting to watch which bumps and bruises come up as an indication of, okay, now what's next for changing? Because when we think we've changed everything, then we find out what's next.
And so, you know, what we deal with here is, you know, depending on where you are, and people who watch this and who are doing this are all over the spectrum. So they're from the starting point of, I don't even know where to start, to this point of, I've been working on this for years, and the practices that I've had no longer are getting me any further, or I keep on coming up with the same thing, and I'm pulling my hair out, and I don't know what to do, and yet I keep on getting the bumps and bruises, which I would rather not have. And most people say that, you know, rather not have it. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, we're all about what the grace and ease, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So what do you tend to talk to somebody about when you have that conversation?
Well, I always say that grace and ease is relative because it could be worse. It's not a car accident. It's not, you know, everything in your life, the walls literally falling down necessarily, although some people even have that. And we just really have to kind of be willing to look at our process, our experience, less as, I guess, the way we want it to be per se, and more as, what am I learning now? What is up for upgrading, renewal, reconsideration, and growth in my life, even if it's not comfortable, because grace and ease may or may not be particularly comfortable.
Well, and actually a lot of people don't even realize they can use grace and ease, right?
Right.
And, you know, because there are people I've talked to who have had the car accident, who have had the fall down the stairs and broke their shoulders, and, oh, by the way, that could be grace and ease too, but there are some who have chosen not, because there are all these beliefs in place that we've played with in this whole experience of duality, and you know, the idea that we are dissolving away is that you have to suffer to spiritually progress.
Right, right. Well, and you know, we have to be fluid, really, just allowing the fluidity. I was talking to someone just recently who was dealing with the concept of expectations for the way something was going to play out, which had been set up, and, you know, this is the way we're all expecting it to happen, and then last minute everything changed, and it was not at all that way, and everyone was disappointed and frustrated, et cetera. And I said, well, you know, sometimes the only thing we can change is our expectations, and once we do that, then, okay, we'll just flow with it in the new way. So it really is also a matter of expectations.
Right. And that's actually a pretty advanced one to get to, because many people get to that place of, well, you know, how come it's not turning out this way, or how come it's not turning out that way? And it's like, well, okay, so if your intention is what's highest and best, right, in the most graceful and easy way. Kindness must not be what you think it is, and think is always the key term, because that always has to do with the ego, and the ego saying, well, this is how I want to put a box around this and create the expectations. This is the only way it can turn out for us to be happy, when that's really not the case, right?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a big topic right now. A lot of people are coming to this place of well, how come, here's one that I see a lot. Well, okay, I have all these issues with my significant other, right? And this is what I'm hearing from clients, from people I talk to. All these issues with my significant other, and, you know, we talk about all these whatever's going on, and then I say, okay, well, so then part, you know, what's really important is to look what's inside of you, right? And to say, okay, are you happy or unhappy? And really, once you get to that place of knowing where your happiness lies, within yourself without dependency on anybody else, because nobody makes us happy but ourselves. So we can say our family makes us happy, but it really doesn't. It's, you know, our expectation. When we say my family makes me happy, it's, well, usually it makes me happy for a reason, because it then proves my worth as a part of this family. It then proves my worth as a part of this relationship. It then proves my worth as being loved, because I'm with this family and they adore me. Or I'm what I do for them, they adore me. Or what I sacrifice for them, they adore me. And that shows right there a need to externalize worth and have others show it back to you, instead of just saying, you know, I'm worthy whether I do anything or not, and I'm happy where I am. So, you know, I can be more effusive. I can be more sharing and giving. I actually can be more sharing and giving when I'm happy within myself than when I am dependent on other people to tell me that I'm sharing and giving and lovable and stuff, you know? So what happens, though, is when somebody comes to me and we start talking about all these issues they're having in a relationship, the first thing I say is, well, look at your own happiness and look at your own self-worth. Worth is the big topic of the week. I swear it is the theme for the past, like, several months, right? But it's interesting, because I have had people look at me straight in the face and say, when I say, okay, well, we can change all that, you know, and I can't think of something off the top of my head where I say, I'm thinking of a particular client that I had seen, and I just remember the look of sheer dread when she said, so does that mean that we could potentially break up? And I said, uh-huh. and that there was this look of terror on her face, and I said, okay, if this relationship doesn't serve you in the highest and best way with the most grace and ease, and that's what you would like for your journey, then there will be a situation, and either you'll shift your energy to not need it anymore, right, to prove your worth when you get into that place of worthiness, and either you'll be able to shift into that place, and then you'll just say, it just doesn't serve me anymore, right? Or something's going to happen that's going to break that, so that you can break the habit, break the pattern, because you've now changed the energy around it so you can move forward. And many people think, right, this goes back to the whole, well, you know, expectation, right? Well, I want to be happy and stay in this relationship. And it's like, okay, but maybe those two things don't coincide.
Right.
You know, because what many think, oh, I'm holding on to so desperately, I love this person and blah, 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 but it's like, however, need here, as soon as you change the need, then the relationship becomes futile.
Right.
So this is actually, it's funny, it's sort of a little digression, but it's really important, because it is changing our expectations. Because I'm like, okay, if you get to a place of saying, I want what's highest and best, I want to reach my ultimate soul purpose, I want to find my bliss, I want to remember, not find it, but remember it.
Mm-hmm.
That may or may not include your significant other. It may or may not include the situation you're in now. It may or may not include, say, the job you're in, or the house you're in, or the place you live. And it might be a little bumpy along the way, but when you really set that intention, part of it is letting go of the expectations of what that looks like in the end, because really all that really matters, right, is that we get to this place of bliss and get to this place of, oh my God, life is so awesome, and I could have never have put a box around this. I could have never predicted what this looks like, and it's crazy, and it's, you know, awesome at the same time, you know, but it was only when I let go of the boxes, when somebody lets go of the boxes, that they can truly enjoy that.
Right. Right. Exactly. I know several people who are making those kinds of changes right now, and, you know, they have really come from a place of being very unhappy in a relationship specifically, which has been going on for, you know, a long time, you know, half the life of the relationship, for example. And then it's just come to a point of realizing that they actually have to take care of themselves in order to move forward in their own life. Potentially at all. I mean, often there's a physical, you know, illness crisis or something, a wake-up call of some kind. And they realize, I can't do that and maintain this dysfunctional pattern. And so they, you know, let that go. And I'll tell you, it's like an anchor leaving their, around their neck, that they just say, no, thank you, and they move forward. Or recognizing that, you know, or in a new relationship or something where someone was, you know, something they wanted to work out and last, and yet everything changed, and so it didn't make them happy anymore. And their question is, do I hold on to this no longer satisfying scenario, or do I let it go and let my life proceed? And they've been able to choose in each case to move forward because it hasn't really served them, and it's been clear to them that they can't do it both ways. So they were able to do that and be actually freed.
Yeah. Yes. And so to really break all the barriers, there are a couple of things that we don't even look at often, right? Because we always say, I'm hitting. Number one is belief in it, belief in your freedom, belief in the fact that you're divine and worthy, and you can attain anything that you desire. That's part of our birthright. That's our divine birthright for us to step into and acknowledge, right? Number two is to let go of what expectations the mind or the ego creates out of that. Because, see, it's really interesting because people will sometimes just relegate to the thought, okay, well, if I don't have expectations, then I'm not going to, you know, have anything that's satisfying. When my argument is actually, when you let go of expectations, it can be far more satisfying and blissful and exciting than you could ever have imagined, because you allowed the higher self to sit back, you know, to the higher self to sort of say, all right, let me manage this, and then we'll, you know, see how it all pans out, and you'll see how it all pans out in the end. And then the third part about that, to me, is trust. It's trusting that the higher self, trusting the universe has your back, you know. And yes, we can set our sights. So here's the thing, we set our goals, and there are so many people that talk about vision boards and setting your goals, and that's great, but part of the whole thing of breaking your barriers is letting go of even looking too closely at very specific goals, right? You know, like somebody might say, well, give me something.
I want to make $200,000 a year.
Right. I want to make $200,000 a year. Okay, well, that's great in itself, but what if you could potentially make $500,000 a year or $1 million a year? Or bazillion dollars or whatever, so much that you don't ever have to worry about what you make ever again. If you just say, I allow that to come to me, I allow myself to be an infinite, you know, prosperity and abundance in that way, you know, you know, you can just let go of it. The other thing is, yeah, the relationships. I always talk about this. It's so funny. There's a woman that I knew, and she was a young, she was in her 20s, single mom. She was divorced. And her first husband had been a doctor, and it was completely, like, he totally condescended to her, treated her like dirt, all that kind of stuff. And it was just a terrible, like, verbal abuse, all that kind of stuff. So she had made, and she had been pretty advanced in doing a lot of spiritual work, and so she did these vision boards, right? And she had this vision board about, like, her perfect man. And the perfect man was a doctor, and he drove this kind of car, and he made this kind of money, and, you know, he looked like this. And I said, do you realize you're totally describing your ex-husband?
Right.
And she goes, oh, yeah, but it'll be better this time. I'm like, what about we let go of some of the guidelines of, like, you know, specificities and that? How do you even know? Because here's the thing. How do you even know that somebody different from those specs wouldn't make you even happier?
Right, right.
You know, how about, you know, and a lot of times we talk about the money thing, right, and people talking about money. It's like, how about just, I have just these infinite resources available to me all the time. You don't even need to worry about it, right?
Right. Exactly.
And the more we trust that the universe has our back, the more we trust our higher self, or however you want to look at it, you know, has your back, the easier it is to let go of all this. And then we let go of expectations. And then we can go beyond every limit that we possibly could imagine.
Right. Yes, exactly. Because that's what we're now beyond our thinking. And they're both in the 3D and in our perception of our potential.
Right. Right. And so, oh, crud, I just lost that thought. Just flew right out of my head. Oh, I know. So the other, like, and this includes sickness and chronic illness, limiting, all kinds of limiting situations. But it's funny because, we're going to be willing to look at relationships and jobs and all that kind of stuff from where we live. And all, I mean, these are things that we shift and rocks that we shift out of the way. But there's often this big blockage or barrier that comes when it comes to illness and pain and sickness. And mostly it's because we have become so dependent on other people telling us what can or cannot happen within ourselves when we are the ones in charge of our own journey, that we just simply give up. And when we put that energy into something saying, I will never let go of this, I will always have it, guess what you do, right? You create it. And so that's one of the things that I talk to a lot of people about now. Yes, absolutely you can let go of your allergies. Absolutely you can let go of any chronic condition. It was really interesting because there's somebody, and a perfect example of this, which, like I said, this isn't like specific to any one person. And I see this happening all over the place because it has become such a society of, oh, I have to listen to what's on the internet, what the media tells me, what my doctor tells me, what my teacher tells me, what my spouse tells me, what my family tells me, what my friends tell me, instead of what do I tell me? What does my higher self tell me, you know?
Right.
But I had somebody who has a cat who had diabetes, and like to the point that he had developed it a couple of years ago and had started having to do the injections, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the person had adjusted his diet, and he had gone through some stuff, you know, some different things. And on the background, I was connecting with the cat and doing some energy work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person took the cat to the vet, and the vet said, guess what? He's in remission, or the diabetes is subsided. The pancreas seems to be working. The tests have come out normal. So we're taking him off the insulin, and the person was freaking out. Like, the doctor didn't know what they were talking, the vet didn't know what they were talking about, because the person's like, well, that can't happen. The pancreas can't just start again. I'm like, it absolutely can.
Right.
You know, we can change it. And they literally were totally freaked out because something changed from what was expected, right? From what other people would expect. And I'm like, anything can change, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, go ahead.
In fact, I know a practitioner who has an AVM, which is, a disorder in the brain. And it's considered very dangerous, potentially life-threatening. And he was under a lot of pressure from her family and her doctors to have extremely invasive surgery that would try to cut off, I think, the blood circulation to it so that it would not become really life-threatening at some point under any kind of stress, et cetera. And, however, the downsides to the surgery were so severe that it could have left her paralyzed on the whole left side of her body, unable to speak correctly, et cetera, et cetera. It was really life-limiting. And I just kept learning, as did many other, you know, spiritual people in our life, that she did not need that, that this was actually not going to be a threatening condition for her. And I, in fact, thought that it was something that she had chosen to take on in this life to give her particular it was almost as if it was access to higher consciousness. It was a quote-unquote deformation of the brain that actually allowed her to function in higher ways, and that it was extremely important that she not have this debilitating surgery, because that would contradict everything that she had chosen to bring in with it and then debilitate her. But, you know, obviously this is her decision, and she's got, you know, really strong pressure to kind of adhere to the conventional, you know, course of action and all of the downsides of it. And she finally decided, you know what, I'm fine. I've chosen to be this way. This is my life. I'm going to proceed. And her life is extremely positive. She's very happy. She's doing very well. And she's not interested in being, you know, paralyzed on the left side of her body. So she's had to really kind of make peace with her family, who are just, you know, in complete freak out mode because the doctor says the doctor does. And it was, you know, she was having to have just all of these medical treatments and different kinds of procedures and unreimbursed medical expenses that were really affecting her. And she just decided, no, I'm not doing it anymore.
Right.
And she stopped. So her life really improved significantly.
Awesome. And that's, yeah. So this is all important because, you know, often when people ask, like, what is, you know, what is energy work, energy healing, you know, what does it do, how can it be effective? You know, and the way I explain it to people is that, well, everything, when you look at it from a spiritual standpoint and you see things from a holistic point of view, everything in the physical is caused from the non-physical. Our physical bodies are message boards. And as, you know, right now we're, you know, going through this period of awakening and remembering the divine that we are and that, you know, we're infinite and all that kind of stuff. While we're in the body, which has been really pretty unusual for us. And in the process, remembering, wait a second, I don't have to wear this as a burden. I don't have to carry this with me anymore. I don't have to, you know, it's funny because I did a session with somebody last night and both of us saw like these huge burdens that collectively, it was a collective thing, it was awesome. Collectively, like big rocks, like big boulders just sort of dissolve into light. And it was like, oh my God, I feel so much lighter. Yay. But, you know, if you think about it, that we are like the cells in our body, you know, we are one of the full divine and we're a part of it. And it's sort of like a fractal. So we're just as powerful in our individual as we are as the divine. It's just tapping into it. And when we get to the place, and part of the journey, part of separation duality is the fun, quote unquote, I use that term loosely.
Scary.
of you know, disempowerment and forgetting, and we wanted to feel what that felt like and sort of be able to reflect to ourselves from the outside. And part of reflecting to ourselves from the outside is what's in our physical body, because our physical body is just a reflection of what our non-physical is. And so when we get to that point of recognizing that, we can say, you know what, I don't need that anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why we can change everything. And there's so much, you know, so much research that's going on and like the Institute of Noetic Sciences spearheaded by, I think, Lynn McTaggart might be the spearhead of that. Lynn McTaggart wrote the intention experiments, the field, and a bunch of other stuff, and she's done all this research about quantum physics and how intention creates our reality, how energy creates our reality, you know, putting attention to something and focusing on it creates it and changes it, right? Which totally validates all kinds of energy work and law of attraction and intention and what was that?
Mindfulness.
Yeah, and mindfulness. And the more we simply create and come from a place of creation, the more free and limitless we become.
Absolutely. And I know what's coming up for a lot of us now is creating from the void.
Right. Right. That has been a huge thing, and it's beautiful, and people are so afraid of it, the void. And what Mary's talking about is the creative void, which, depending on how you see, what I have been shown is the void comes before the light. Like it was sort of the creative void from which the light became, which is really the light we consider divine consciousness, you know? So it's almost like even before that and beyond that, And it's so nothing. And I hate to say it that way because people think of nothing as, like, useless.
Yeah.
But so nothing and peace and calm and clear and free.
Yes. Beautiful, clean nothing.
And when we create from there, that is the creation from creation, the creation from the divine, as the divine, from the whole, in purity, and no filtration, no, like, laws, no rules or whatever. We can simply be, right? And then we get to that place of isness, which is my favorite place. But to get there, one of the biggest, really the biggest paths has to do with worthiness. Worthiness and trust in knowing you can change it. And that part of, you know, part of our shifting is to realize that, you know, we talk about what, the ego, right? The ego, all these separation based, and it's all been created. We all created it, individuality. The ego's job is into all these levels of consciousness and bigness and levels of existence. We've chosen ego and, you know, as the role of individuality, or to explore the role of individuality and the possibility of the perception of separation. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just been the exploration. So the exploration is anything based in separation would be coming from the ego. So that would be what we talked about: pain, anxiety, rejection, regret, anger, guilt, doubt, sorrow, pain, judgment, shame. All of that is separation based and duality based.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have anything of that nature, it is based in duality. And when we go beyond that into divine consciousness, or even beyond that to, you know, the void, it doesn't even exist.
Right.
So it's when we remember how to get there, how to practice getting there directly without all these ceremonial stuff, with all these rituals, and just being there and knowing we're there all the time. And this is a portion of our whole, and that we can express the whole within the portion, which is beautiful in itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we can simply really take charge, break all the barriers, like, and actually not even break barriers, dissolve them all together, and just remember that there aren't any to begin with. But they're all just part of our creation and part of our own journey and our own amusement, I guess, right?
Right. Because those are, I want to say, like, subjective perceptions. But when you're the void, is the divine nothingness, right? The divine oneness, nothingness of the divine. There is nothing. So there's nothing to separate from something other than what we are being.
Right.
And it's beautiful.
Right. And people are afraid of that, though. It's so funny how much they're afraid. When you say the void, they're like, you know, it's like, no, actually, the void is good. The void is not good. It's fabulous. And
how about taking it away?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did a share with an energy share with somebody last week, and it was like a spa day in the void, which was awesome. And it was like we literally immersed ourselves in the void, which, you know, of course, is just metaphorical, and yet it was like being washed away, not just being washed and cleared, but washed away to remember, oh my gosh, there's never anything else.
Right.
And it's so free, and oh my gosh, you don't even realize down to yourselves what that feels like in terms of freedom and lightness and limitlessness and infinite ability, infinite possibility when we get to that place, because that is just where we started it all. It's where we started all. And so it is beyond words amazing, and yet, you know, so many avoid it. Avoid it. Isn't that funny? Oh. Avoid. Anti-void. We haven't heard that word before.
Oh, that's funny.
But when we look at that, we can say, okay, we avoid it because we're afraid of losing our identity, and that's the ego, afraid, fear, right? That's separation-based. And saying, you know what? the most bliss is being in our natural state, which is that oneness, and beyond that, just the void of creation, which is really freaking cool.
Yeah, the oneness
is nothingness. Right. And so you can, and so people who ask, you know, they're saying, well, how do I actually do this? I mean, sounds, you guys all make it sound easy. Like, okay, snap your fingers there. Technically, we can do that. However, we are changing a bunch of stuff. So some who are watching are just starting. Some have been doing this forever. So what would you recommend, Mary?
Well, meditation is always your best doorway to yourself, doorway to the earth and multiverse and nothingness, everything, I think. And whatever we're able to access the meditative state, and that's for each person. So if it is a certain kind of, I don't know, guided music, visualization, whatever that, even some exercise, or whatever, that's a great way to access themselves and quiet their brain so that they can come to a point. And when you can sense, then you can get closer to this void and just all into our external reality and be, you know, float this and then the stuff.
Yeah, part of, and you know, it all comes down to really in the simplest perspective, which is what I end up coming to almost every week, is meditation and clearing your mind and getting to that core place is really important however you do it.
Right.
You know, you can learn how to do energy work. You can learn how to manipulate energy. You can ask your guidance for that. You can come to people like me and Mary who do this every day and have to help you not only clear those things, but also to learn how to do it yourself, because we all have the ability. You know, it's funny because some people say, oh, well, that person's a healer, or I'm a healer. Or that's, it's like we're all healers. And by the way, the only one who heal us is ourselves. That's what I tell every client that comes in my door, every student that I work with. We only heal ourselves. No doctor, no medicine, no energy work, no magic ever heals us without us allowing it to. Which means we are the ones in the driver's seat that cause us to heal or not to heal. So we have created these tools in the 3D, whether it's medicine or whether it's words or other kinds of, you know, or crystals or energy work or herbs or whatever, or food, regardless of what it is, that we've created those as reminders that we are giving them power that we already have, to remind us that we can change that.
Yes.
And so when we take away the need to externalize, and remember it's all within us, and that all comes from centering ourselves, from clearing all the chatter of the ego and separation into that place of oneness, to remember that we do have that, that we're worthy of that, and we absolutely are, then we can just clear anything away. And by the way, so one more thing before we do our clearing for today, is I have people ask me, so what if I do all that and it doesn't change? Like, what if I still have this?
Mm-hmm.
Because Lord knows, there are many of us who've had that, you know, and even those of us who are very adept at energy healing, we have something and we bang our head against the wall going, okay, this has been here and it's been here and I've looked away and I've come back to it and, you know, it's gotten better, it's not gone away or whatever. Then there's usually some other reason that it's still there, right? So what I keep on saying is, well, focus on, number one, your worthiness, number two, your divine infinite ability, and number three is remember that if we set our intention for what's highest and best with the most grace and ease, like you said in the beginning, it might be the most grace and ease to go complete whatever it is that you were completing. You know, there's one person I had worked with, that was an Alzheimer's patient. And I saw down to, we did work for a while, I'd record his sessions. He was about, you know, midway through getting confused and all that kind of stuff. And his wife really, really wanted him to not have Alzheimer's anymore. And she asked me if he could change that? I said, absolutely, he can change that. However, you don't know what's highest and best for him and for his journey, and only he does.
Yep.
And the answer here is not whether or not he lets go of it as for the success of the effort, but has he come to peace with himself? Has he healed or resolved? And I was not even talking about heal because I don't even like using that word anymore. Has he recreated it so that he does not need a situation of that he's manifested due to this, so that he doesn't have to come back and do it again, by the way, you know, in that way.
Right.
And that he can come to acceptance and love within himself. And that's actually pretty hard in that situation to begin with, because there's a lot of guilt, because he has to take care of you and all kind of stuff. But I had seen that he wasn't going to let go of it because of the lesson that his wife had, they had agreed to, that he wanted, that she wanted to have at the higher level. And he was, though he had healed a lot of stuff for, within himself, it was he was still adhering to that agreement, because she wouldn't learn the lesson she needed to learn without it.
Right.
And, you know, there's no guilt and no blame on that. These are all the agreements we make and all that kind of stuff. But he became more at peace, you know, and he started meditating, and they've done research that's shown that regular mindful meditation in Alzheimer's patients actually increases their lucidity and all that kind of stuff, and longevity in terms of remembering. And I stopped seeing him, so I don't know what has transpired since, but I know that the duration of when he was seeing me, he would do really well because we would meditate. We would, hold on a second.